Hi, everyone. I'm Natalia Ochoa, and I was so inspired to create this podcast because I want to share a piece of wisdom that I'm integrating into my life currently. We all have the ability to create our own reality in which we can heal ourselves. Hopefully, through the conversations I'm passionately sharing, you'll discover the power of your own intuition. Hi, everyone. Yes, this is my wine glass. I am having a very, very special episode today. I am beyond thrilled to be bringing on three of my best girlfriends for a special edition of Red Wine Table Talk. We are going to be discussing love, relationships, empowerment, boundaries, and just everything that it means to be a modern artist and an entrepreneur and just strong-headed, empathetic woman in the world, and why it's so important to have this balance and understand what our dreams are and how we want to achieve them, but at the same time, really talk about our struggles and the things that we have really dealt with in learning ourselves. And you know, I think it's such an important thing to talk about authentically because life is confusing and it's your friends and your family that make it all okay. Because God knows your 20s are just, you know, a roller coaster. So I'm going to bring them on. You know, we're all in different parts of the country. I have my best friend Audrey from Boston, my best friend Jackie, she's living in LA, and my best friend Sarah living in Miami right now. So without further ado, here are my lovely ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Cheers.
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 Welcome. 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 I'm going to take a little sippy sip. So good. I am so excited for this conversation today. This actually all started when I went to Miami over the holidays and I got together with Sarah. We hadn't seen each other in so long, like, you know, with the pandemic. And then all of a sudden I was just like, boom, we have to have this episode. Like the conversation that we were having was just so juicy and so incredible. I was like, this needs to be known, especially because I have this conversation with all of my girlfriends, all of you guys, and you know. So I'll actually have all of you guys introduce yourselves and say a little bit about what you do. Audrey, you can go first.
Sure. Hi, I'm Audrey Tessero, and I live in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. I live in a little cottage on a lake, and I'm currently building up my own entrepreneurial business as an intuitive artist. I do a lot of different things, from voiceover work to teaching yoga and meditation, and I just started giving tarot readings. So it's kind of a really beautiful and really interesting time because everything is shifting for me. And I think a lot of people can share that sentiment, but it's really wonderful to have these women and these kinds of people in my life to support me, especially in times like these when there's all this transition, but it's beautiful stuff. So I'm excited to be here and share some wine with you ladies.
Yes. Sarah, let us know who you are, darling.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Crane. Thank you for having us, Nati. I'm from Miami. I'm currently in Miami, Florida right now. I am an actor and a choreographer. Before the pandemic, I was performing in a national tour, and then COVID hit and I was stuck in Miami. So I've like pivoted, like all artists have had to do. And I've been doing a lot of teaching guitar and dance and just trying to stay in line as an artist and continue to create while trying to make money and all of those things. And I've been with my family for the last year, which has been such a blessing during this time. One I don't think I would have ever had without this situation. So here we are. And yeah, Nati, when you said that conversation we had, we got so deep, so quick, and it was like no years had passed, but we had grown up a little bit. So I'm so happy to be bringing this to fruition.
Yes, absolutely. And me, Audrey, and Sarah are all from Miami, Florida. So we got our little chongalicious attitude and little hoops. But Jackie is an honorary Miamian. You wanna share?
Hi, my name's Jackie. Well, you can call me Yuting. You know, I'm trying to embrace that. I'm originally from Taiwan, And I actually moved out to Los Angeles 12 years ago. It's been a long time. So since COVID, I used to be a product specialist for auto shows. But because COVID hit, now I actually have time to actually, you know, dive into what I truly desire to do, which is like align with my higher self, that I wanted to be a spiritual teacher, like public speaker. So a lot of like healing and all that stuff, like spending time with myself and doing all that. And truly, actually, actually going into styling because I love like arts and colors and all that stuff. So like
yes,
all you guys said, it's, you know, a blessing this mm-hmm. year. I also know that like compared to a lot of people, you know, we might see like things that happen for other people that's, you know, sad, but yeah. A lot of good things are happening, like we learned through this process. And I'm really honored to know all of you ladies because Nati. So I'm excited.
Yes. Well, I brought all of these ladies together simply because we have one thing in common. We are highly empathetic. We are highly intuitive. We are headstrong. We know what we want and we know how to go after it. And we are just such strong, powerful women in the way that we represent ourselves in the public. But at the same time, our true nature is feminine and our true nature is love. And all of us here are shifting out of issues with boundaries and understanding how to be this modern way of being a woman and understanding how to be so unconditionally giving, but understanding where the boundaries lie. And that's kind of like the first thing that I want to talk about, you know, because just creating that fine line balance between knowing what you want, going after it, but then at what point do you know that you're overextending yourself and that it's not actually filling your soul and that you're just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. And then you just are like caught up in this place that you're like, wait, where is this really going?
No.
I was going to ask, are we talking about specifically in love, in work, in everything?
Everything.
Okay. Well yeah. Let's start with work. Let's start with work, and then we can go into other topics.
I was going to start with a work example.
Amazing.
I found myself in this pattern over the last few months, having this pattern of doing the most, saying yes to everything, finding myself at the end of the cycle, being tired, being a little anxious, not taking care of myself, giving myself one day to be like, get your shit together and do it again. So I don't know that I've found right now the work balance that I would like to be more in line with, because I'm always doing the most.
Yeah, always. And, yeah, and we're still figuring it out, you know?
Yeah, I want to find more of that balance, but it's like this pattern I continue to see and I don't do anything about it. So I'd love to dive more into finding that alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that as women, we are natural givers and we naturally just want to do and give and give. But also because we're so headstrong and entrepreneurial, then we also just want to get everything done and everything needs to be, you know, boom, boom, boom and everything. So it's like, what do you think? Where do you think that comes from? Like that wanting to just overachieve and just like, what do you think is perpetuating that cycle for you?
That's because I'm a Capricorn. For sure.
Yeah.
And so are you, Natalia.
Well, I think my love language is definitely acts of service.
Mm.
And in my work, I feel validated when, you know, I've been teaching for months now. And when my students feel taken care of, I feel a sense of validation. And, you know, how much of that is for me, I wonder sometimes.
Right.
Giving. And then I need to actually reverse.
Like receive.
Exactly. So
I kind of.
And that's so hard. That's literally so hard. Because we're all overgivers, all of us. And that's a really beautiful quality to have, you know, to be these women that just have so much pleasure in giving. But then at what point does it get, I know for me, I hit a wall and I feel empty inside and I just, you know, I definitely also haven't found the perfect balance. I think we're all trying to figure that out. I mean, that's kind of what this whole, you know, conversation is, being real about the fact that, like, no, we haven't figured it out. But I know so many women are going to relate to this, because it's like, we want to do it all and we can do it all. And we've discovered that we want to do it all. But also we need help, and it can be okay for us to ask for help and to understand, like, what that looks like, and just be like, oh, we can create a structure.
It's funny. I was just realizing that I'm pretty sure all four of us are first or second generation Americans. And I think that has a big, I think that's a key. I think that has a lot to do with it. And this is actually something that another friend of ours, Alexa Shear, once said to me, that we were talking about the talent that comes out of Miami, because on this call, there's three, you know, arguably four of us from Miami. And like, why are we all in the arts? Why are there always so many performers coming out of Miami? And what she said was, she thought it was because we were all first generation Americans, and there was this sense of these high stakes about it. Like, your parents sacrificed everything to come here, so you bet your ass we're gonna do whatever we need to do to live out our dreams, as opposed to living some sad 9-to-5, no offense to anyone who works 9-to-5, but, you know, like some sad life where we're not fulfilled. And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. And how are you finding that balance?
But it's not just first or second generation Americans. I think it's also just like the era that we're in right now, with everything shifting from, I mean, not just the pandemic, but just like the 21st century and things shifting from what they were last century. I think like all of the preconceived notions and the gender roles and all that are shifting so much more. So there's like a door that's been opened, and we're all peeking out of it. Like, wait, what? We can do it that way? So I think that's why we all have a fire under our ass. Like the asses.
I mean, yes. I mean, it's like, well, because we're moving and shifting into a place and a time when, you know, when women are becoming more in charge. But I think that there's a little bit of like a disbalance in the way that it's being done now, because it's like, you know, we don't have to castrate and put down men in order to do that. And I feel like that's a lot that's been happening. It's like, I think that we can still be in our feminine and still be headstrong and empathetic, because that is what we bring to the workspace and to the work that we do. And I think that it needs to be recognized, the value that we bring into any work situation.
Yeah. Speaking on that, like, the toxic masculinity, like, they put into the women, because women can do everything, right? So we have to like prove ourselves even more in that sense. It's like, oh, it's not like we don't need men, but a lot of times that the language that we used, it makes people feel like, oh, you don't need help. You know, like, you've been seeing people posting, it's like, I don't need men, I can do it by myself. So like, sometimes people take it literally, like, yeah, you don't need a man, you good. Like, but we actually do need help, like, from, you know, just simply asking. And sometimes we forgot that, to embrace that feminine, you know, that feminine side of us, because we truly can do it ourselves. But sometimes just like literally letting go that control, because I feel like we're all boss ladies. So sometimes we want it to be like, you know, like everything the right way, and we want it to happen the way we want it. So sometimes we forgot to like let go and relax a little bit, be like, other people can take care of this too. Like, we can like breathe and like being that element.
Yeah, because ladies, do we need men?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes.
Absolutely, 1,000%. Yes, men, you are so needed.
It's so, I always find myself with such, like, the pendulum is so swinging one way, where I'm like, I don't need anybody. And then I'm like, I need. In fact, not even just would appreciate, you know what I mean. That pendulum swings, and it's that middle ground of letting it come in, not judging it. Mm-hmm. Life, work, love balance. That's, I feel like, the golden nugget. That a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I keep thinking about the word overcompensate because of what Jackie was saying before. And it's like, now that we can kind of, you know, do our own thing as women in this society, we are taking it so far so as to overcompensate for all of the, you know, being pushed down that has accumulated over the last century or whatever. And it's right. so unfortunate because I don't know if all of us do this, but I know Nati and I for sure have been studying like feminine energy and the deep feminine. And there is like so much to be learned from history, like ancient history and the roles when gender roles first became a thing. And there was a sense of honor and a sense of worship when it came to like what men were good at and what women were good at. It was just, you know, there were just different times. I'm probably also saying this because I've been watching a lot of Outlander lately. Actually, I was just watching before we started this, so my head is there. And there's just this like beautiful thing when a man is a man and he does the thing for the woman, the strong thing, and a woman is a woman and she's being worshipped and mm-hmm. she's being recognized for the things that she's good at too. Like this idea that I think is being shed, but this idea that was around for a long time of how like women were the weaker sex when it came to like, and examples that they would use were things like giving birth. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, do you know mm-hmm. how much strength a woman, oh, how yeah. strong a woman is to be able to do that? And I right. feel like that's where it's a joke, because I think a woman is so strong to be able to be pregnant and give birth, and the idea of her then needing a community and needing help to bear the baby, to have the baby, to raise the baby, that does not at all lower, you know, the fact that she did all that work, because she's like, as far as I'm concerned, way up there in terms of strength.
That's why I feel like woman has way more capacity for like emotional stress compared to men, because you have to go through so much, like just mentally and bodily, like simultaneously when you're having a baby and even going through like giving birth. Like that's insane. Yeah.
It is. It is. And I think it's crazy that, you know, that like there are some women that just go right back to work, and not that that's a bad thing. It's just like the fact that you can birth a child and then go and back like, to work.
I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm back and I'm still going to run stuff. Like, why is that not appreciated in the workspace? Like, are people just not like, people just don't understand like what it means to birth a child.
Because men are afraid of women, and that's why we live in the patriarchy. I said it.
You know what's so funny?
Wrong.
No, you're so right. It's so obvious. I don't know how I noticed that, because in Taiwan, you can actually like save your jobs and leave for like the max 3 months. And you can like the first month you have your salary paid and you don't have to be there working. So it's like when I got here, I was like, y'all don't have this? I was like, okay. So I start seeing the differences of like what a country like, you know, value, or like different, you know, different culture, like in the background of how they see these things. Because when you see that, people tend to be like, oh yeah, so that's nothing. You know, they just give birth, so come back, it's normal. But it's not. Like,
they just gave birth. They just had a baby.
And I feel like I'm not going, and we won't know. We know this, but then we'll really know it when it's time, if we all want children, you know. But right. know it now, and we see it, and then it's going to happen, and we're going to be like, what the fuck?
Exactly, because we're saying this and we don't have kids, but just
I vow right now to not fall into that trap. And this is recorded, so right back to me in 10 years or whenever that is.
But yeah, I mean, I think that what's being called for right now is this balance of understanding that we need the masculine, that we need men. They're so needed right now, you know, and appreciated, because even though we're so headstrong and I don't know if any of you can relate. I know that like with my family, it's like, oh, but Natalia can do everything, so she doesn't need help because Natalia's got it. Like Natalia always figures it out. Therefore, people see me and then they're like, she doesn't need help, so they don't even ask. Do you guys ever deal with that as well?
Yep.
Yeah. Your first question was like, where are you? Like it was a boundaries question. And I was trying to think of specifically with work and the job that I just quit, that I was considering a placeholder job. Nice way of saying, you know, like survival job or what have you. I was working for a dude who I love very much, and he's a dear friend, but I was working for him and his small business, and it was his home office we were working from, and it was a very intimate situation because we were in his home and we would, you know, cook together and talk about our personal lives and all this stuff. And it was, it's it kind of a perfect example of what you just described, Nati, that it's like he saw me as invincible because I was able to organize everything for him and create everything for him and do all the marketing for him and like everything. If there's something I didn't know how to do, I would figure it out because I'm a superwoman. I don't know. But I definitely noticed that there was this disconnect where he kind of saw me as invincible. And then when it came to things that like everyday life things where I'm not invincible and yeah, I need help with this or that, like there was a disconnect. He didn't understand, like, what do you mean you need money? Like, what do you mean you're not making enough? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I live in a really expensive city and it's 2020 and we're in a pandemic. Like, come on.
Yeah, well, actually, I want to talk about this topic. Me and Sarah were talking about it, how it could be so intimidating for us because we're such givers to really stand firm in our pricing and in like out like how much we want to charge people. Because we just wish that we could just give it for free. Like, we want, like, you know, one world, but that's not the reality. Like, we need to put food and eat and take care of ourselves. I mean, and it still makes me semi-uncomfortable. I've worked on it a lot, but that notion of just charging my full worth or what I think is just has always just felt so intimidating. I used to be so afraid of like actually even giving invoices because I was like, I don't know. I don't.
Today, someone asked me my rate for a dance class to teach. You know, I'm a professional, very professional, and I get nervous. Like, all of a sudden, I feel badly that I'm asking. Someone asked me, what's your rate? And my first instinct was to, like, go into my shell instead of standing firm and saying, this is what I deserve. And I had to talk myself into the text message I had to write, and I had to read it back 4 or 5 times and make sure all the, you know, the punctuation. Why?
Yeah.
My rate. And that's my rate. That's my rate. And if you want that rate, you can find another instructor.
Exactly. Like,
so I'm working on that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that it just makes us feel so uncomfortable to ask for prices, to just be like, this is my price, you know. And I know that for me, asking for, you know, a solidified price, I think it could be a lack of fully understanding and knowing my worth and the fact that I can do so much. But for me, I think it also comes from a place of me being an overgiver and me understanding that it's like at the end of the day, I wish I didn't have to charge for things to help people, or, you know, like my services, like I wish, you know, all I want to do is just help people and, you know, but that's unfortunately not the world that we live in. So I know that that's what it is for me. And that's kind of where my boundaries are not really set in place. So that's why it becomes difficult for me, because I wish everything could just be a trade or just be, you know, giving unconditionally.
I think as artists, when artists are in a different category in this department, maybe, because no one becomes an artist or to make money unless you're wanting to be a movie star and you move to Los Angeles with the hopes and dreams of becoming a movie star. An artist is someone who feels deeply connected to their art, and you don't do it for money. I think all of us are grateful that we found a living or a way to make money feeling connected artistically, but it feels wrong to say, I want to charge you for something that feels within and deep to make you better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's like, we have to feed ourselves. We have to create a life for ourselves. And, you know, it's we have to be able to charge and to understand what that is and say it firmly and not be afraid.
Going back to, like, you were saying how, like, being an artist, like, no one thinks to charge it because it's like, oh, just artsy stuff. Like, where I grew up, it's like, oh, art, you can't make a living of that. They're laugh at you. Like, oh, you want to be an artist? Oh, you're not going to make money. That means you need a second job. Mm-hmm. So it's not a thing for people to actually think about. So you will even think that, oh, maybe I shouldn't even charge because it's not an actual way of, like, collecting income until like you were telling me like, no, like, you know, you need to know your worth. And that's why I'm like, I'm learning too, all that, because it's just so unfamiliar to ask for something that the world doesn't recognize, right? Like, still shifting into that.
I mean, you have to know, because if art wasn't worth something, then why has it been around for as long as...
And like the painting and the museum charge you for like thousands, billions of dollars. And
it's worth what you think it's worth. So I think it really is.
So many women that are artists and from all different realms, I've had this conversation with. How we all, not we all, I don't want to speak generally for all art women who are artists, but more often than not, most women I've spoken to have all felt like, why am I asking for money for this? And then we always go to the conversation about, but if a man was doing his job, no matter what it is, probably feeling fine to ask for the rate.
Absolutely. And I a little trick that I use, and when I was just like having a lot of meetings and things like that, I sometimes when I would be scared to send an email or like scared to put myself out there, I would just be like, what would a man do? Like what, literally, I would sit down on my computer and I said, would a man just be like, oh, like you were saying with the text, like look it over 5 times and like make sure that everything is fine and just like talk, call a friend and just be like, okay, how does the tone sound? Like, does this sound okay? Guys, don't fucking think about this shit. Like what if my old boss didn't even write full sentences. He used to email me just being like 10 a.m. my house. Like, there was no like, please arrive at 10 a.m., you know, blah, blah. He was just like 10 a.m. my house. Like that was it. And it's like, if they can communicate like that, like, why do we feel like we have to apologize? Why do we feel like we have to be overly sorry to just be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm giving you my rate right now, or, you know, this over apologetic energy.
I think it goes back again and again to the conditioning. Because we live in a patriarchy. That is, I believe I am helping it to come crumbling down to the ground to be built back up as something else. But I really feel that that's why. Yeah. A long time ago, the grandmother was honored. She was basically in charge of the village in terms of wisdom, in terms of respect. She was revered, you know, the older women. And it's like...
I think that because maybe men feel more intimidated because we're coming so strongly in the workspace and just kind of like demanding and pushing and just being so aggressive as women in the workspace. And this is my perception. It's not right or wrong, but I feel like men are feeling more intimidated, and their intimidation and them not feeling fully welcome is making them not see and understand the true value of a woman. And I saw that again and again with an old business partner that I had, that he was just like, I really understand how women could truly run things because they bring such a sense of empathy, and there's no like male pissing contest, you know, because we're doing it from the heart. We bring the heart to any business that we do. And I don't think that that's valued. And I know that, for example, in many relationships, that, for example, about like the men providing and, you know, with the whole finance situation, it's like there's a lack of men understanding the full value of emotional intelligence and nurturing that women bring to a home, into a relationship, the knowledge that we bring, the wisdom. It's not always appreciated. So women feel like they have to do twice as much or 3 times as much to just really be seen, because there's never been a monetary you know, it's like
quality.
which leads me to, I have all like, you know, all of these little sayings. This next question that I have, why do you think that then we make ourselves overly available for work?
For
work. And then we can transition into love and men.
Because it's that sense of worth and the need to overcompensate to prove ourselves. Because of what we were born into. And I was just thinking as you were talking, like it's this war. I mean, there's so much division going on with so many different groups of people all over the world right now. But one that's like, I think, been going on since, I don't know, the Industrial Revolution or probably way before that. It's this like the women are getting stronger, so the men are getting more scared, so they're pushing back. So the women are getting stronger and more aggressive and more angry. And so the men are like, oh, maybe we'll, it's this like, it's this power play and this power struggle. And it's interesting that I think most people, most groups, most teachings are not, have not unlocked this energetic practice of what it means to be masculine and what it means to be feminine and how they actually complement each other so well. And I think that it's just this back and forth struggle, because a lot of what we live with in our lives and the things that we put value into and put stock into, and the kinds of jobs and the kinds of economy that we have, like a lot of it is I believe like distractions and not focusing on what's truly important. And it's taking away more and more from what really matters, which is that beautiful balance of energies that creates beautiful balance in the home. It creates a sense of love and a sense of openness, whereby you have people coming out of that. You have a husband, a wife, whatever. It doesn't matter what the gender is. It's just the energy. When you have a happy family and you have children being raised in that kind of environment, then you have just better people who are going to be better in society. And then there are going to be other people seeing that. And next thing you know, you're suddenly going to have communities of people who are once again happy and balanced. And there's just less fighting because there's a deeper understanding of self.
Yeah.
And what do I know?
Yeah. Well, I know that for a really long time, it was really hard for me to say no to any job opportunity. You know, I didn't understand how to create boundaries in the workspace at all. You know, especially as an entrepreneur, I like, it was just like, oh, you need me? You need me? I got you. You need me? I like, yes. Before I even asked myself, am I actually available for this? I would always just say yes. And without even taking the time to like think if this is a viable option to me, just because it was like, I'm so grateful for this opportunity that I just said yes. And I think that that's also really imprinted in the female way of doing business, of just making yourself overly available. And it's like, it's okay to say, hey, I'm not available. Like it was impossible for me to say I'm not available.
I have an example. When I was on tour, my stage manager, there was a tumbling track that two men did across the stage in one of the numbers. And both of the guys were injured. And the stage manager knew I could tumble. In the middle of the day, like right before call time, she called me and was like, hey, Sarah, we need to fill this track for a couple nights. Can you do this? And what did I say? Yes. Got to the theater early because I felt like my worth was on the line. I could have said
no. She asked you.
Day of. And but
I can't believe that.
My stage manager is amazing. If I had said no, she would have been like, great, we'll figure it out. But she knew my abilities. And because of that, I felt the need to say yes. And my worth, I'm here. I'm the yes man. I can do it. Did it. Hurt myself on the second night and was like, you fucking idiot. I didn't really want to do this. I did it because deep inside there was something saying, if you say no, your self-worth in this company, I want to be the call. I want to be the call. Sarah can save the day.
Yeah, the savior. We can do it all. We can save you. We can help you. We can just handle all of it. but we can't.
No, and the work that done leading up to that moment was absolutely worthy of my time there and my pay and all of that. But right when that question was asked, it's like, oh my gosh, I have to prove myself. I already have the job. Why did I have to do that? You know,
but part of that fuel of being the savior and I can do it because I can do everything. The part of that that's so beautiful is the root of it, that it comes from this place of just pure love.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. There's a fine line, right? There's a fine line between because we can do it all. We just want to give and make ourselves so available. But the crux is when we don't sit with ourselves and actually ask ourselves, what is it that we need? because that's a huge difficulty of just being like, oh, they're giving me this option. Okay, let me pause. Let me think about it. Let me see how my body's reacting to this. Let me see what my body's communicating to it, as opposed to just like throwing ourselves to just be like, yes, 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 anything, anything you need. You know, whenever I was an assistant, I was like, whatever you need, I got you, I got you. Like, and I would take on and take on and take on and take on, because I wanted to carry all the weight, because it also, it gave me my worth, because I understood that that's where I felt powerful. But it slowly just created a decay for me.
Yeah, and that saying yes, it's like, when you don't say no to people, it's not like they're unpurposely like walk over you. Cause I do notice that when I at work, people will like to switch shift with me, and I'll be like, yeah, it's okay, I can do the late shift. So people always come to me and I'll just work like the late shift, and people's like doing, you know, schedule their days and having their days at the time that the shift they want. And I'll be like, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. And eventually they just think, well, you know, Jackie will do it because she's nice. But like, that becomes the fine line, like you were saying, that people kind of just think, oh, they'll go to her because she's going to say yes anyway. It's not like they, you know, purposely walk over you.
Exactly. Because we allow it to happen, right? We allow it to come into our lives. And if we just say no, and it can be done respectfully, like Sarah, I'm sure you could have just been like, you know what? Actually, that's something that I can't commit to right now. Like, I'm sorry. And they would have been like, it's like your stage manager would have been like, of course, no problem. Or just be, or even negotiate. Oh my God, negotiation? To me, I'm like,
what is negotiation? What do you mean negotiate? Negotiate what? What is it? I take what I'm given.
But we do have the power, and that's just, you know, the topic about that. And then just switching it over to men. Why and how have we been so overly available to men that we've dated? Let's
talk about I that. Don't know. No more.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about
talk about sex, baby. And me.
I think it's deep. Everyone is different, but I think for women who experience, I'm putting myself in that category, being overly available, wanting to do the most acts of service. It comes from childhood and where I was raised and the way I was given love and the way I give love and the savior. Again, it's almost parallel to the work, being the savior, being superwoman. I want to be there for you, for your thoughts, for your feelings. I will show up and I'll be the best version of myself, and maybe even push away the parts of myself where I need help and healing to serve you, because it's how I'm conditioned to love.
Which is so beautiful, right? And it doesn't make any logical sense to think like, why do you have to be any different? However, it seems like when we come from that place, because I've been there so many times, we're just so overly compassionate. We understand that if someone's not going, you know, if a potential partner that's interested in us and just isn't, you know, fully their fullest potential, we just want to cheer them on and be for them, and it's not valued. But at the same time, we continue, or I continue to put myself in a situation where I was like, no, like, I will see this through. I am loyal. And I will change this person. No, we won't.
It's not our fucking job.
No,
it's not your job.
Right.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
I like that. Yeah.
I mean, Audrey, I'm done doing that. I don't behave like that anymore.
Do you think
we'll
that's
talk about the shift?
I mean, in detail?
Please.
Oh, yes. We got this wine here.
Okay, here we go.
The wine is here.
So once upon a time, I was on this little hamster wheel, and I was going in circles and circles and circles with the same people, making the same mistakes, allowing the same bullshit into my life over and over. And every single time, I fell for it again and again, because it was disguised enough to look ever so slightly different from the last guy or the last situation or the last bullshit that I didn't recognize it immediately. And I got trapped in the fucking hamster wheel again. And so the last hamster wheel, I was in this really complicated open relationship, and it got really dark, but it didn't seem dark. It seemed like, oh, it's just complicated and it's okay, we'll work it out. And it's kind of sweet and mellow. And let's listen to some like blues music that's like not depressing at all. We're not depressed at all. Really, that's it. It was very sad and dark and depressing. And the people I was involved with, they were not facing a lot of the shit that they had put themselves through and hadn't dealt with. And they were essentially trying to like drag me down into the mud with them, unbeknownst to me, unbeknownst to them even. They were so unaware of how much was going on there. So that's like, you know, as much detail as I care to give about that. And something happened at this. I think I was talking to Nati. I was talking to Nati about it a lot. And some little detail just clicked in my mind that made me recognize, oh my God, this is the exact same thing as the last guy, as that last situation. How did I not see that? Oh my God. No, I'm not falling for that again. And I somehow just like wiped my hands of it. I stepped back. I like slowly was taking slow motion steps back, kept facing it as I was stepping back so that I could like, you know, like see what was going on and make sure no one saw me walking out the door, like, you know, metaphorically. And when I got out of
that situation, what was that thing that you were experiencing that you had to say no to? Like, what was that trap that you were in?
Well, essentially it was sitting there fixing someone else's problems, sitting there dating someone's potential and trying to uncomplicate a very complicated situation that I didn't create in the first place, that had existed long before me, will probably exist long after me. And I have so much pure, clean, clear love to give. It's just being wasted. Not even wasted. It's being sucked out of me by energy vampires, by an energy vampire. That's over and over. I love that term, energy vampires. So I saw it for what it was and I slowly backed out and it just like, it hit me, the visual of what this actually was hit me so clearly that I sat there saying, okay, I see it this time and I am not falling for this again. No way. And I just had such an acute awareness that I kind of energetically upgraded myself over and over. I sat there with Nati, we were downloading Hinge and getting on the dating apps. And as we were doing that, as a practice, we were writing things and sharing pictures of ourselves that were energetically upgraded. Every single thing I put on there was very highly conscious and highly thoughtful. And I made non-negotiables with myself. Like, I'm not reaching out to anyone. If they want me, they can come get me. There were so many requirements that I had. And I said, no matter what, no matter how hot this guy looks, no matter how perfect this person seems, no matter what they say to me first, if they don't meet every single requirement I have, if they slip up even for a moment, if I notice anything that just is not on par with what I've just decided I deserve, then I cannot allow myself to go forward with this person because I'm just going to fall down the same trap again and again and again. And I think it took, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of me doing that. And Nati and I were doing it together. We were constantly talking about it. And oh, this guy, oh, that guy. And one by one, I had to like rip myself away from people and say to myself, no, nope, not the one. Nope, not the one. Kindly tell them, nope. And somewhere in that mix of me saying no to other people in order to say yes to myself, I met the man of my dreams. The end.
Yeah.
You did?
And cheers on that. I did.
Cheers on that.
When I say he swept me off my feet, that is an understatement. Aww. I've never been treated the way I'm being treated.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Beautiful. That hamster wheel ended beautifully.
She fucking got off that hamster wheel.
It flew off. She was like,
Oh yeah. I was on the hamster wheel of overly compassionate towards unhealed men that had so many problems, but were like half unavailable, but said all the right things. And I was like, I know that I can make them the man that they're supposed to be.
That's a horrible trap. Horrible, horrible. No, don't do it. Don't do it. You are here to meet your match. And also, if you are in that certain situation, understand that the only person you can change is yourself. You know, there's nothing that you have to do. And also, it's a lot about the feminine work that came also with it, which was sitting back and not doing, not texting, not, you know, acting out like how we do in our business. It's about allowing for it to come to us, because if we are queens,
then you need a king. King. Wait, oh, can't yeah. see it. There we go. Whipping out the cards. It happened yeah, to be if you, there.
If you want a king, you gotta be a queen. And do queens date potential? No.
No. Do queens let their man cook, like, I don't know, 5 meals in a row for them while they like lie in bed waiting for it? Yes. Without them even asking for it.
But I mentioned, Kathy, what you said about the sitting back, mm-hmm. how it's so hard to find that. I find it hard and challenging to sit back, and my non-negotiables about letting someone approach or take initiative. I jump the gun and I'm like, you know what? Why not? I'm confident in myself. Let me just jump and communicate. But trusting to sit back, and what will be, will be.
Yeah.
Part of that masculine energy is that the masculine energy loves to, excuse me, be a warrior and chase. They love to do the work and take action. And so we have to give them space to take that action. And that's like the biggest turn on for them.
And then if they don't, then we say no to them.
Because hamster wheel.
Because hamster wheel. Well, Sarah, I want you to share. You had a story of a situation that you were in about how when, you know, you were in a situation where you put yourself overly out there, and then like they had to tell you no, and that's kind of when it clicked for you.
Yeah. So this has been a long journey, a heartbreak journey for me that I'm still navigating, and been years now. Lots of change and good has come from my experience. I'll say that. Still, you know, still searching for some constant self-love and chiseling the mountain to really connect. It's happening though. It's happening slowly but surely. And there was a situation in my life where I was doing the chasing and doing the, I'm going to fix, going to make it right.
Because that's what we do in our work, right? And we don't know how to like transition out of it.
And take action. My thought, and I'm just like my mom in this way, thinking there's a way to handle this. Take action. This is what my mom would say. She's an incredible businesswoman, an incredible mom and wife and woman in general. And her thing is always just do it. She's always like, if the thought comes, do it. And it's funny because she is a woman who, before she met my dad, they've been married 38-39 years. She was proposed to twice before my dad. Like, she's okay. A lady to be, you know, but she was sitting back.
She was allowing.
And, you know, if she were here right now, she'd say, I chased your dad, which would be probably why I internally am like, oh, if I can do something, I'm going to do it. So there was a situation where I was going to go and see someone without their knowledge, because I thought me showing up is going to be the answer. That's going to be the love that I give. And they're going to see that me showing up is me giving everything, and that's going to fix it all. But in reality, it has nothing to do with how I view that situation. It has to be both parties, and that other party specifically. You know, I can't change the way he views me based on a decision I make, a text I send, a FaceTime, you know. So I was going to rent a car and drive somewhere and
to go save the day.
To save the day. And I was in the line, anxious as shit, like sweating. And in the line, I get a call from him and I said, you'll never believe this. I was in line to come rent a car. His response was, it's probably good that you didn't do that. And I think back in the moment, I'm like, this is going to be saving the day. But in a way, that response took the weight off my shoulders because I felt like I had to do this, but I didn't. And, you know, it's been a lesson, and lessons I continue to learn about myself. And this time, it's like almost being 30 and being single has been like a blessing in a way. Mm-hmm. I really, this is something that I never thought I would say.
Yeah,
really, it has allowed me to just experience life with me, myself, by myself. There are moments, but it's been a really, you know, I'm an optimist, so I'll be like, but thank God my heart was broken because no, but it's really been a journey. Yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, I think I've come to realize that no energy, we're talking about so much energy, that no phone call, no text, no letter, no car rental is going to change someone's mind or have them thinking differently. It has to be that other person, and the energies need to just gel. And if they don't, they don't.
Yeah. And be okay with it and be okay with walking away. I did the same thing. I like was like in love with this guy and I got on a plane to go see him. And it was just like me doing all the doing and I'm here and I'm here for you. And I give all of myself to you for someone that's unavailable. For someone that is unavailable. Why would I give myself to someone that is unavailable? That literally he was just like, I can't. He was just like, sorry, like, I like, please don't come. And like, I got on the plane and I had to like book a hotel. And it was like, I cried so much, just feeling just so unworthy, right? Because I was trying to prove something. I was trying to prove that I could fix, that I could, that just if I gave it my all, that if I tried to do this. But in retrospect, it's like, but what if I had just allowed or just been okay with understanding and saying like, oh, this person is unavailable. Like I can say, you know what? I'm also not available for you. And that doesn't make me a bad person. It just, it means I'm saying yes to me.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's like, but I had to get there. I had to like do the deed and it was so painful. But I also want to bring into consciousness from a married woman because Jackie's married. And
I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
mm-hmm. So in the married life, how does this play out?
Like, in what sense?
In all the senses and everything we've been talking about. In,
well, because, you
know,
well,
finding the husband, like, and, you know, I'm going to pour some wine for this.
Right. So before like I met him, like I was in a really long, like, it's like a 6 years relationship. And I was always trying to fix things when I already see this is not going anywhere. But I was like, no, it's okay. Like, you know, like there's something that I still can do, or, you know, like what I can make him feel better, like blah, blah, blah. And then I wasn't really there and he wasn't there either. But I think a lot of times that like in the relationship, people just get comfortable and the other person don't feel like, oh, it's like, oh, I'm still in a relationship. If there's nothing happening or like bad thing happen, we can just be together. But like, I don't see myself, you know, doing that, but I didn't say something like that because in my culture, like saying stuff like that, it's just so vulnerable. I don't know how to ask what I want and, you know, to bring that up as a, you know, as a topic to talk about. There's some traits I used to do is I wait till someone to break up with me.
Mm.
Like I don't break up with them because I'm so scared of hurting them. Mm. Because I'm like, okay, I don't want to say that because, oh my God, I'm going to break their heart. So I wait till they break up with me. And so they can like, you know, they can feel better. But like all that drags out for so long that the time that I literally wasting, you know, knowing that, oh, I'm actually don't want to be in that relationship. But because I love a person, you know, that unconditional love, and sometimes a mixture of oh, like we can be together. And then, you know, I can still create all that stuff. And finally, like when I was in Taiwan for 3 months to like fix my knee, and I wasn't really like thinking about a lot of stuff, but you know, our instinct, it's just so on point. He was just like, hey, I have something to tell you. I was like, yeah, you cheated on me. And I was just joking. and then he was just like, and I was like, oh, I was just joking. But I guess, yeah. And then he did. But I was like, wow, like I still feel hurt. But the funny part is like, I kind of let that happen, right? Like before I even say, you know, cause I wasn't even there. So I never really blame on him. Like, even though he feels so bad, but I was like, you know what? Like, you know, I talked to myself, like, you know what? That's, you know, you're at least you're with someone else. And he felt deeply like her, like he hurt me and blah, blah, blah. But I was just like, I didn't tell him all this, of course, but that finally finished. And that's why I was like, I'm always having this pattern of knowing something is not what I wanted, but I kind of let it just happen. I let life happen, you know? Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then they don't seem to appreciate, right. They don't seem to appreciate you to, you know, to like make changes or like know where you, like what you wanted. So I keep seeing that I'm being with men, just like the same type, like, you know, and then up until like 3 months, 2-3 months, I was like, I'm going to go home, you know, to Taiwan. I'm like, bye America. And that's where I met like my husband. Like, he left a note on my car, which is really like really movie scene. I don't know how that.
Oh my God. Can you please share? Oh my God. Can you please share that story? It's so romantic. And
it was so fun. Okay. So it's still like, okay. So we were driving by each other. And literally, like when I drove by, I was like, oh, that guy's cute. So I drove by. I was like, well, you know, just some guy that passing by my life. So I was peeking back with my back mirror. I was like, oh, he's parking on the street because I live in that apartment building next. But that day is the only day that I didn't park in my parking structure. I was like, I'm so lazy. Like, I was working 9 to 5. So I was like, no, I'm just going to go in. I get my breakfast. I was in my sweats. So I was like, okay, no, like pass by. I'm not ready. I'm not seeing anybody, right? So I went, I find a parking spot and he's still there. And then like at that point, we kind of know we're like checking each other out. Like, so just checking him out and he was looking at me. I was like, okay, but I don't want to run into him because we're walking the same direction. He was going to go on the North Hollywood train station and he's walking the same direction while I'm going to my apartment. I was like, no, I'm going to wait. So I waited in my car. I was like, oh my God, this guy's taking forever. He was literally, well, after that, I know he was like intentionally pretending finding stuff in his car. But before that, I know, just like, oh my God, it's taking forever. I need to eat my breakfast. Like at that point, I'm over. I was like, I don't want this like encounter. I don't care. Right. So I got out and I go complete opposite way of where my apartment is supposed to be. So I pretend and go the other opposite way. So I hide this corner. This is so silly. I have this corner waiting for this guy to leave so I don't have to run into him that, you know, I feel like I was not in my best self. And now seeing back the story, I'm like, why am I, you know, like now I'm loving myself a lot more. I'm like, fuck it, right? But before I'm just, you know, I'm going to hide. So I peek to see if he left. He literally stayed at the corner confidently. He was just like, his sunglasses was like, oh, he saw me looking back at him. He's like, okay, confirmation. And he laughed. I was like, what the fuck was that? So all day, it was so funny. Every time I tell the story. So all day, I was just like, this is such a weird like encounter. I was like, whatever, but I'm leaving. But I was like, oh my God, like my heart just, you know, feels weird. Like, you know, thinking about this cue, whatever that happened, like today's event, right? So that night, like me and my girlfriend will go to Hermosa to have some drinks, like hang out. And I call my girlfriend because as I'm walking out to the car, I was like, hey, I'm going to get there. I was like, oh my God, you're kidding me. I was like, no one else has had the fucking parking ticket. Why the hell I have a parking ticket on my car? And I was pissed off. I haven't even take the paper up. I was just like rambling. And when I got there, I was like, oh my God, fuck this shit. I was like, oh no, it's not a parking ticket. I was like, it's a note. It was like this giant note, like pink, like a receipt. So he wrote it on there. And then I was like, I didn't even think about like the encounter, but when I saw the note, I was like, oh, no, it's not going to be him. And he literally wrote like, hey, and very confidently, he was like, hey, I'm the guy you were checking out and I was checking out you. Like, I was like, okay, all right, there you go. Like,
I love it.
I know. And then he's like, please like call me sometimes or text me like my number. And then the thing that got me was the PS. I'm sorry if you thought this was a parking ticket. And that's what it got me to text him. Cause I was like, I'm not available for relationship. But I was like, that's a big thing. That was just like, make my heart just, you know, goes a little. I was like, I texted him. I was like, hey, this is Jackie. And I really did. I really did thought this was a parking ticket. Thank you.
Hey, this is Jackie, period. Yeah.
You're like, who is this? So yeah, and then the next day we like, you know, he texts me, we start talking. And then during that dating process, that's when I know I start saying like yes to the things that I want and then no to the things that I cannot accept. Like, because I know everybody have different like boundaries. Like I just can't, because I think everybody has a different relationship with their friends, right? But at that moment, he does has a lot of female friends, right? But in his world, it's okay for females to stay over and sleep on the same bed. But in my world, I don't like that and I don't appreciate that, right? So at that moment, if it's my old self, I'll be like, it's okay because he's cute. Like I wanted to make it all okay. But then I was like, no, I don't want to just go into the same, you know, same old pattern. So I texted him, exactly. So I texted him, I was like, hey, I don't think this is working out. I feel like we do have different sets of value and opinion on things. So it's okay if it doesn't work out. I was like, I just can't accept that. And I communicate in that way. And I was like, well, fuck it if he can't, and it is what it is. And he literally dropped everything. I know, like now all their girlfriends knows me, so it's better. But like at that moment, in their perspective, right? It's like, we're just friends, which I don't know, right? So in my perspective, I'm trying to protect myself, not going into that.
You're living your truth, of course.
Right. And then that's when he was just like, no, I'm coming to your apartment. Like, that's talk. And that's where I'm like, okay, then this can go somewhere. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounded like you stood your worth. It sounded like you just gave no shits. You were just yourself. You were in your sweats. You were in your sweats, and your husband found you and was like, I want her. So it's like, that's what we don't have to overly give ourselves and of ourselves and have to be this version of ourselves. Right. To just be like, yes, it's just like, all we have to do is just be us 100% authentically who we are.
And that's when the moment I was like, oh, like I was wearing sweat. He's like, I know. And then, you know, sometimes women, we have this like dream of like how the beautiful encounter, and sometimes mostly like beautiful story always happened just like you didn't even like expect it when you meet someone. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that was
love that story so much.
Oh, I haven't talked about that story.
How long have you been married?
Well, we knew each other for 5 years. In 2 weeks, it's going to be our like knowing anniversary. And then like, and
it's been 5 years?
5 years, yeah. And we married for 4. And it's going to be 5. It's four years something.
And be honest, like has it been a smooth road or has it?
Oh, hell no. I will tell you, no. So people say, well, I'm sure there's some marriages like, you know, very, I'm not saying flat, but like people likes just very calm, you know, way, which is like those, you know, small, no arguments and stuff. But I would say like my journey, it has been so rewarding. Like the moments that like you look back now, like at the moment you feel like, oh my God, so painful. Like we gone through a lot of like deep stuff and then peeling of each other's like core truth. Mm-hmm. And seeing each other in that deeper sense.
And did you find that in those moments when you wanted to overgive and fix?
So that just literally that backfire. That backfire, because it just me, and I do realize that too. Because
men do not like to be controlled.
Freak. They just don't. Yes, I'm such a control freak too. They don't like to be controlled. They don't like to be coaching. You know,
they don't like to be coached. Because God knows I like to coach them in.
Yeah. We're just giving ideas, but for them, it's like, oh my God, you're coaching me. You're like criticizing me. But sometimes we're just like, no, babe, you can, you know, do this. But I do realize that like men and women just work so differently. Like if I tell him what to do, instead of like, let him find the way, and I just do, and I just be me, and that, and then be able to give him support on the sideline when he needed, and he'd be fine.
Which goes back to that fine line of just like I, as our role in a relationship is not to fix, it's not to mend, it's not to control, it's not to criticize. Right. It is right. Just to be that unconditional love, right? And mm-hmm. to yeah. come from
meet
that place.
Meet people
and,
where they're at.
Yeah, and meet people where they're at.
It's yeah, so refreshing to hear from, Jackie, I don't know how old you are, but.
I'm 30, going to be 33.
Like, I have a few friends who are married, and even people that I know who are in long or marriages. You never hear the honest part from people about, yeah, it's a journey. It's not, the world doesn't change and my life doesn't become a magical place. This is what I hear. It's really refreshing to hear someone say, no, it's been a work and it continues to be, and we're ever changing it. That's beautiful. That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's always going to be work. Like, it's still work. Like, there's, it just, the way, I think it's a perspective shift too. Like, because used to be like, oh my God, this is work. But now it's like, oh my God, I get to do this, because you see how it changed in you too. Like, so I think that's like a beautiful part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being able to hold space and not needing to fix and creating that balance, right? Of like, our headstrongness doesn't come into the relationships, because then it doesn't work. Right. Right. At the end of the day, we're still romantic. We still want to be swept off our feet just because we're headstrong and we can do all the things and we can execute and run board meetings and whatever. When I am with a man, like, I just want to just like be the goodliest girl ever and just be taken care of and protected and all those things. Right. It's like, yeah, absolutely. I got it. But like, I want to be taken care of.
I got it, but
I got it, but
and also learning how to ask when you don't even need help, but you're like, hey babe, can you do that? And then they feel that they can't do that for you. Like, man also needed that, because a lot of times we can do everything, you know, just like we said earlier, but it's like that sharing that capability of like letting other people to carry some weight for you, and then they feel also be seen. Mm-hmm. But like, that's powerful.
Yeah, because men need to feel needed, like that hero complex of,
right?
Like, yeah, of just like, yes, you know, and making them feel that. But we can't do that if we come in with the same energy from work as we do in our relationships or even dating. You know, we have to allow to sit by. So that's where the balance comes in, right? And then when you're in the relationship, create that dynamic of balance between, you know, obviously it's like you know, he doesn't always have to be headstrong and do everything. It becomes kind of like a teamwork aspect, I think.
Jackie, your story is so beautiful. And I just love thinking about my man and how it's, everything that we just said, though, it's so powerful to be on the receptive, to be on the receiving end of things, sitting in a space of feminine energy in a relationship and all of the work stuff, all of the intensity. And when I was spending a lot of time with him, because he is now in the Navy.
Oh yeah, because Audrey's a Navy wife now.
Wavy wife.
Navy wife life.
Woo! Hashtag Navy wife life.
My point was, when we were spending a condensed amount of time together, I was also at the height of really powerful, like, work energy. Like, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I got deadlines. And it was all self-imposed. And it was really beautiful and very heightened to feel both of those things happening at the same time. I would be working on something, and I remember telling him, like, please leave. I need to work on this. And then I'll be free at such and such time. And I set these boundaries, and he was like, ooh, yeah, great. Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to cook for you. And then I'll come back when you told me I could come back. No joke. That's how it happened. Over and over. And then every time work mode was off, I just softened. I let him serve me. And it was just this, it's this really beautiful dynamic. And part of it, though, is because he and I both are very conscious of it, and we've had a lot of conversations about it, and we continue to. So that's, you know, another thing that, like what Jackie was saying, like it's a journey and it's beautiful when you can sit there and grow and see, really see each other. So that's a big part of it. Like I wouldn't be able to be doing this right now. I wouldn't be this person right now if he weren't matching me in that way. So.
Yeah. Well, I actually want to say, I want reactions. That was what I was trying to think of. So I want reactions. So ladies, what does it feel like if a man just like gut reaction, right? Cause we're empowered, strong, headstrong women. Right. So, but this is just like really for the men to like, know. So what does it feel like if a man is like, what do you like to eat? And then you tell them,
ask me what I want.
Sarah has no opinion about this.
I don't think I do.
Okay, Sarah, if a man came up to you and says, what do you want to eat? I want to make it for you.
You know, it doesn't like.
That's okay. That's okay. Listen, you don't have to have a reaction to it. Okay. I'm just throwing things out there. I know. I'm just throwing.
If you look back, I'm like.
You were like, I don't like that question. You're like, I don't.
But
like
that's that's such a valid point though, because me and my husband used to like, we couldn't find the balance because I wanted to be in charge of everything because I was like, no, like the food you're going to order. No, I need to, this has to be like this, like that, you know, I have to be very specific. And then I didn't even give him like the chance to like try. Cause I was like, no, you're going to mess it up. But because I'm such like, I want to control, I want to make sure everything's the way that I want it.
You know what I want more is for not that no question of what, just do it.
Okay. What if they just know that you love Italian food and they just call you and they said, I'm taking you to an Italian restaurant, the best Italian restaurant that I found.
That's the one.
On Thursday at 7 p.m. What do you feel?
Yes. That's the one.
Okay, baby. Whatever.
That's the one. Don't ask for the opinion. Just do it. I'm going to like it no matter what, truly.
Okay, that's so you need a man who's like as strong as you, who's like charging. Not in charge, but charging.
Right. You need a good Aries man. You need a good Aries man. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Get yourself. Yeah,
that's gonna meet the strength, but then like even take charge. So so if a man just tells you, just demands and just tells you this is what's gonna happen, then you do you just melt? I melt. I'm like,
right. Huh? You're like, Sarah, come down to your apartment like 7 and don't even tell you where it's going.
I'm coming down.
Immediately. I'm curious about this one. What happens if when this person shows up, when this man comes up and just so forcefully just takes you, you know, when he brings you your favorite flowers, what do you feel?
I love that.
Yeah. What do you feel, Jackie?
I was like, how do you know that's my favorite? I was like, how do you know?
does it make you kind of just like become like all soft?
Yeah, I'll be like, let me get my sexy feminine Jackie.
Mm-hmm. And what about when they what about when they open the door for you every time you enter the car?
Oh wow, my god. And then the chair thing.
The chair. What about when they pull out the chair?
Oh, that's rare.
I have one that's similar that is like the biggest turn on, and over and over and over he does it. We're walking along the side of the road. There's not a sidewalk. And he just like pulls me in, switches sides with me. He's holding my hand so tenderly, but so firmly, doesn't say a word. It's just like instinctually with his body language saying, I got you. You get over here. So like I got you. And it's like, oh my god. It's just like so safe and warm and fuzzy and all the things.
Yes. Okay, so yes. How about when you are just feeling so emotional and you just fucking let it rip in front of him and he just looks at you and loves you and stares you in the eye and gives you a hug until your shoulders relax?
Oh, You feel so seen and so understand. Like,
and he doesn't try to fix anything. He doesn't try to He just holds you.
That's perfect. Oh my God. Give me goosebump.
Me too.
Right?
Men, if you're listening.
Holding me right now.
Men, if you're listening.
Wow.
Listen.
Please listen. Even the most headstrong women, we want this. It's in our nature. We want this. What's another one? I'm trying to think of like other ones that are just so that just make us completely melt.
When they text you, reading your mind.
Ooh.
Or just text you. Period. Like, you know, you're sitting there and they call. They forget text. Fuck text. They call you because they want to hear your voice and they want to communicate clearly. Not with the wishy-washy bullshit of, oh, I don't can't. They call you. They listen to you. They tell you, hey, this is what I'm feeling. How are you? I want to make plans. They make clear, concise plans. And then you see them in a few hours or in a day.
Oh my God. Wait, I actually have a really good one. How would you feel if your man remembered when you were getting your cycle?
Oh wow, that's a
if they stole that, Nazi.
I stole it
from Outlander. Oh my God, he literally
but they're like standing there and he's like, you in the bed, and like, how, like, we know, I know you're pregnant, how long have you known? And she's like, just a little bit, how did you know?
And then he was like, wow. I know that you haven't gotten your period in 2 months. And he was in the middle of a war. He was in a war. And she was like, you noticed that I didn't get my period for 2 months. And he's like, yes, I've been keeping track.
You kept track? And he was like, yeah, of course. Like, she's his life. Oh, that is a lover. Can we talk about James? Yeah.
James.
Have you guys seen Outlander? Has everyone here seen Outlander?
Oh, you guys have
to. Get yourself some Outlander. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Yes. And then, okay, let me think of another one. How does it feel when your man says, I want to be synced with your calendar so I can know when you're available?
So hot. I just love scheduling. So that's just a huge challenge.
Anything that keeps me organized.
Oh.
Love the fact that when he can sync, that means you know all his schedule. So when he puts it on there, you're like, oh, babe, you're going to do that. Because we actually like have to go through that. And that was surprising. Like, you know, like, because a lot of times you'd be like, okay, maybe not. Because I have a lot of like girlfriends that are married, they don't have sync schedule. So you have to ask. Yeah. But then with that, you literally just, oh, see, you're like, oh, something's going on. And then you kind of ask each other because you have to like confirm, because once he put it in, it will send to your phone. You have to confirm it and you will see it. So that's like really, really cute.
It makes you feel prioritized.
Right. Yeah.
Confirmation that you're a priority.
You know? Like you're always in the know.
Little small things. I mean, if just like little things that might seem insignificant, but that are very significant. Just the smallest bit of I see you, I hear you. Like as small as if mentioning like I want to go get a coffee somewhere.
And then they take you
today. And then all of a sudden you're there. You're there. You know, like little things, like someone's listening.
Yeah.
You know,
they're paying attention. Randomly say one day, like, oh, I love red lipstick, and then as a gift they give you red lipstick, and you're just like,
you
remember just the little things that just like, it's just attention to details. It's really about listening and being in tune. We want to be in tuned with,
because you know how women communicate really different than guys. Today, if you're cold, you will be like, oh my god, I'm cold. You wouldn't say, can you close the window? And that's how a guy will say, can you close the window? But I'll be like, I'm cold. And you will see husband walking there and to close the window. Like, you don't have to like tell him, because like women don't communicate that way.
I was just going to say something like that, where I'm learning about this as a conscious practice, being aware of how you're saying things so that you're not pushing, so that I'm not pushing and forcing, but instead I'm just communicating my feelings. And I remember testing it. And say, it was past testing it, though. It was very clear that I was like, this is the man for me. And so I feel so easily myself, and that I can so easily be my feminine self. And it's, I'm feminine, he's masculine. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful symbiotic thing. And so what I said was, yeah, you know, I'm feeling really weird today. It's, things aren't going how I thought they were going to go. And my energy's super low. And I don't know how to explain it, but like, this is what I feel. And this is, you know, sharing my feelings. And his response was, okay, like, why don't I come over and we can go for a walk and then take a nap? Yeah.
Aww. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds great. I'll see you soon. Okay, great. See you soon. It was just like, he solved it. This is how I feel. And he just solved it.
Oh,
and
even so beautiful.
There's probably a, like 1% of me in that situation who wanted to say, oh, but I want to be in control and I don't want to go for a walk. I want to go for this or whatever. But instead I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna trust you. And the fact that you're coming back, like your response to me is trying to solve it. And in such a sweet way with so much effort. Done.
Yeah. How would you feel? I'm like on this like rant. How would you feel if he just like showed up and literally just like looked you in the eyes, asked you, how are you? And then just hugged you until your shoulders relaxed.
The best.
That would make me shake and shiver.
Yeah, I would be like,
I want that to happen every day. Just every that day. One simple question. Yeah.
Just one simple question. Just how are you? And then mean it. And then they're actually listening. And then they remember, and then they follow up like days later and asking, like, yeah, that thing that you were talking about, like how like is that okay? Are you still feel
no.
Listen.
Listen, it's not that hard. It's really, these are all the secrets to a woman's heart. It's really not that hard. It just takes a little bit of effort, I think, which is like, you know, a thing. Do any of you have?
No, I disagree. I don't think it takes effort. I think it takes a collective shift in what we're focused on learning so that everybody starts to understand what the true balance can be. Like, understanding ourselves fundamentally differently. And when that shift happens, it doesn't have to be an effort anymore. It can just be how things are. I don't want it to be an effort. I think it's unfortunate.
I agree. I don't think it should be. And there, how would it feel if just a man goes down on you, eats you out, and like loves it, just like he wants to pleasure you. And like,
oh my God. And then say, let me, like, you don't even have to ask. And he just goes down. Wow.
No, you don't even have to ask. He doesn't even have to. And he just says, like, I enjoy doing this at all times. And you're just,
oh my God. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And make sure that you're comfortable first. Cause a lot of men like, whoa.
Oh my God. When they grab the pillow and put it under your head for you.
Right. Make sure you're comfortable and everything. Like, all you need.
Oh my God. It's the little gestures. It's the seeing you in all aspects of the relationship. But of course, when you're naked and you're intimate, oh my God. Oh.
Yeah, it's the attention to detail and making sure that you feel safe. That's huge.
Yeah.
Let's just appreciate that.
Protected, safe, just right. Taken care of. Okay, so this is a good one. When he takes you out to eat, like to dinner, and then the bill comes and he was like, don't you dare touch that. I got it.
Or he already take care of it. He said, like, I'm going to the bathroom.
Sarah, and
he
comes Sarah's back, like, Sarah's like, I don't, I don't want gone. That. I want that's it to be taken one. Care of already.
I don't want to know that I had the option to control the situation because I would.
All right.
I can pay for dinner. I can make the reservation. I know what we like. I know. I could plan it all. But if I don't have the option, and it's just done. Oh, that's the relax.
Did you guys hear that?
It's just done. It's not even talked about. It's like all right, it's done.
I guess that's a personal problem that I'll have to be diving deeper into.
I don't think it's a problem. I think you just need
think that's a problem.
Aries, man, you know, strong fire.
Yeah. You know, send them my way. All right.
There's men like that out there.
Oh yeah. 100%. That will literally just be like, I got this. Like you won't even know. I mean, Sarah, I think you actually just put up the standard. I'm here just being like, let's leave it open as an option. But you're just saying no. Like, it needs to be taken care of with before I even know.
Because if I have the opportunity to think about how I would do it, or I don't know.
Totally. I agree with you. If that's even hotter. If I arrive somewhere and everything's just already taken care of.
Yeah. Right. He just come back from the bathroom, say, let's go. You're like, hold on.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next adventure.
Let's go.
Sarah, you just brought it up to a whole new level. Absolutely. And then if we feel like that, what would we give in return? How would we show up, you know, to that dynamic?
With everything.
Everything.
With everything. I mean,
specifically paying the bill and having it all taken care of.
Everything that I've mentioned, if all of this is done, you know, how do and we feel so relaxed and we feel just so just in our feminine, how do we show up?
We show up grounded, loving, unlocked. We're not bitchy or perceived as bitchy. We're not complaining.
Judgmental.
we're ready to give the same nurturing energy back that men love about women in the first place. It's just everything becomes really in flow and symbiotic, I feel.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Full self. I mean, ready to show up 100%.
100%. We will definitely love sucking your cock. 100%.
Oh, 100%.
110%.
110%. And I will pour to that because it's like if you just want to be pleased like the entire time, like just do those things and like we're yours, like you can have your way with us,
putty in your hands,
and we'll dance for you and we'll do all the things.
You will see a flower blossom just
for your eyes.
In
many ways.
Oh, many ways.
Oh yeah. Well, I hope that you have found this deeply insightful into the mind of a woman. And if you're a woman or a man, can gain from what we're talking about in this evening as strong, empathetic, forceful, and, empowering women. This is the truth of who we are. And this is our reality. And these are the things that we're going through as, 29 to 33 year olds in this time and age. So I really hope that you enjoyed what we spoke about and take it forward and express it and continue to spread this message so we can create this symbiotic energy balance that we're all deeply seeking.
And drink wine while we do it.
Absolutely. Cheers. Thank you, ladies. Oh, she's done. She's done.
Cheers,
cheers, ladies.
Cheers. Cheers.
Unapologetically women.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Unapologetic women.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. Amen to that.
Love you guys.
Thank you. Thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining. If you found this podcast enlightening, please like, subscribe, share, and follow Power of Your Intuition _podcast on Instagram. This is available on Spotify, Apple, and YouTube, and you can join my newsletter at nataliaochoa.com.